A good Erev Shabbos. Parshas Toldos. This week, Be'ezer Hashem, I want to share with you something about our normal situation of abnormality, perhaps. And we will see why I chose from this week's parasha this incredible chizuk and lesson. We live, you know, I think back, we're holding many, many months into this abnormal life that we've been living. And unfortunately, and I say unfortunately, it's become normal. I remember vividly the Yimei Tefillah in the beginning of this pandemic, that everyone was davening to HaKadosh Baruch Hu to remove it. Today, I'm not sure we're turning to the Bari Olam anymore. I think today it's, we're not sure who's the Yeshua, if it's Pfizer or it's Moderna, but I think we've totally lost focus. Of course, our tefillahs are what bring these things to the world. But unfortunately, what has become turning to HaKadosh Baruch Hu today has become, following statistics, 90%, 95%. And I think it's up to the vaccine companies, I think, at this point, when it's going to end. I don't know if HaKadosh Baruch Hu has much of a say here. So I want to share with you the most famous misconception about tefillah. The most. And that is going to share with us, which I should say, this myth that gets busted in this week's parasha. And this will give us tremendous chizuk in the times that we're living in. There's a conception that tefillah was invented to get out of trouble. HaKadosh Baruch Hu throws you a curveball. There's a challenge in your life. That's when it's time to wake up and daven. If we're surviving, there's no reason to daven, so to speak. We also make another assumption. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu sends us a difficult situation, that he sent it to us, and we obviously deserve it, so we just shut down. 99% of people that get a challenge assume it's a punishment from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So it's a punishment, I deserve it, let me suffer through, and it's going to leave. The Ma'bit wrote in his classic, Beis Elokim, one of the main svarim on tefillah. He has three different topics, but on tefillah, in his sefer, in Beis Elokim, he cries about this mistake. And he says, for someone to daven and not get answered, say his tefillah was a failure, he has no clue what tefillah is about. Tefillah, he writes, has nothing to do with getting answered. Tefillah is not an Amazon order cart. He says tefillah serves only one purpose. It's a purpose of recognizing it's from HaKadosh Baruch Hu and turning to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's all tefillah does. After that, HaKadosh Baruch Hu does what's best for us. But it's the turning and recognizing it's from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. When a person stops davening for something, that's the day he decided that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not involved in that detail. If you and me, and again I'm talking to myself here, please, stopped davening for Corona to go away, or you stopped davening for different details of it, if you stopped davening that yeshiva should stay open and that shul should stay open, means that you don't think that this is Bi'at Hashem. That's the depth of people who don't daven. So many times when we daven, it's because we're desperate. We have no other choice. So in the beginning, we were desperate. Now we've come to terms with it. And since tefillah is to get us out of trouble, we're fine. We're going to wait it out. We're going to wait out the vaccines. We'll wait our turn. Then we squandered this once-in-a-lifetime event. Tefillah is here for this reason. And the Yisayid is from the beginning of this week's parasha. Chazal, the parsha starts off that Yitzchak and Rivka are davening for children. They were both akarais, they both could not have children. Chazal are bothered. How could Yitzhak and Rivka not be able to have children? These are HaKadosh Baruch Hu's only loyal subjects in the world. Chazal answered, "This HaKadosh Baruch Hu misaved l'tfilos and shal tzadikim." A simple answer from Chazal. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted the connection. He wanted the tfilos. So he put them in a trying situation for no other reason. Only, "I want your tfilos." People don't see this. HaKadosh Baruch Hu sends a chayla to a family. HaKadosh Baruch Hu sends a parnasa challenge. Oh, it's a punishment. Again, who are we to know? There definitely is such a thing as punishments. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants you to look up. That's all HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants. Look up. We don't. We're so busy running and stopping. Yitzhak and Rivka got a punishment. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted Yitzhak and Rivka, who are the av and the aim of Klal Yisrael, to turn to him and daven, so that we grandchildren, when we have a challenge, we're going to do the same as they did. You think we're reading history over here? What's the chizik you're going to get? A parsha told us that your grandfather and grandmother, Yitzhak and Rivka, could not have children. They were challenged. Why? For a punishment? Because Baruch Hu wanted to make sure that no one makes that mistake. So he chose Yitzhak, who was never chayte, Rivka, Imenu, who was exposed to the biggest Rishoyim, and she remained a tzaddikus. And they were given a challenge to be mechazik us, that thousands of years later, when there's going to be a challenge to the entire world, doesn't necessarily mean it's a punishment. Maybe it's time to look up. HaKadosh Baruch Hu realized that people are running to work. You should see how people run into davening and people run out of davening. It's terrible. Shacharis is chopped at the beginning and at the end in the middle because people, again, no one's bad, chas v'shalom, but people are running to work, running to carpools, or running. Because Baruch Hu was sitting there waiting every single morning, "Please, please, please, look at me. Sorry, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I gotta go to work." HaKadosh Baruch Hu's looking at us. What do you mean you have to go to work? Where do you think Parnas is from? You think you're gonna cut off the second half of Shacharis and run to work? You're gonna do well? We didn't get the message. We didn't get the message. We were davening, waiting in lobbies. We were davening, running and going. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, "You know what? I'm going to do something interesting." HaKadosh Baruch Hu stopped the world. And everyone, no one went anywhere, and everyone davened. People told me they never davened so slow and beautiful as they davened those last 2 months in whatever it was, March and April, through Pesach. HaKadosh Baruch Hu saw, gebaldig. HaKadosh Baruch Hu opened up the door. He let us go again, but still restrained. Nobody flew. No one had to travel to work. Most people work from home. For one reason. He's punishing the whole world. How many? He's punishing us that Tanoika Shabbos Rabban kids can't go to Cheder. That's a punishment for us. This is what it's taking to slow us down and to look up to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. This is the greatest time in history of our lifetimes, and maybe even the lifetime of our parents, for us to stop and look up to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and recognize, to turn to Him, it's from Him. By what's going on now, the people are sitting and just missing the boat that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was involved here. We're talking about vaccines and politics, who's going to win, who's going to control. What happened to us? Of course we're happy vaccine. That's the answer to our tefillos, Be'ezer Hashem Yisbarach. But that's the main role over here. Tyre in Parshas Toldos, Yitzchak and Rivka, the words of Chazal, HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants tefillos of tzaddikim. He wants our tefillos. I want to finish with a story. Such a moving story. A story that brings out this very point. How the challenge is for the tefillos, for the connection. This story happened in Chodesh Adar 5759, almost 2 years ago. There's a Yid in Eretz Yisrael, his name is Reb Chaim. Now this Yid Reb Chaim himself told the story to a magazine in Eretz Yisrael, a weekly gil called Kulanu Yoidei Shemecha. It's the name of his gilian, Kulanu Yoidei Shemecha. He himself was interviewed by this magazine or this weekly gilian of Divrei Torah, and he shared the story. He decided he had some challenges. He was going to Ukraine to daven by Kivrei Tzadikim. As we know, Chassidus Yidden, when they get into a challenge, they get onto a plane and they go daven by the great Rebbes, buried in all over Europe. And he went to Ukraine, he landed in Kiev, he stopped a few places, and he went to sleep in a Chabad house in a neighboring, not in Kiev, but in one of the communities near Kiev, there was a Chabad house. He pulls into the Chabad house, he sees a family there from Eretz Yisrael, very strange. You see men going to daven, there was a woman and children, very, very strange. Something just doesn't smell right. And to his shock, he sees a 15-year-old yeshiva bacher there. 15-year-old yeshiva bacher, Miller Zman, Rabbi Rosh Chodesh Adar time, there's a month left to, at least to this man. What's a 15-year-old bacher doing in a Chabad house in the middle of Ukraine? Intrigued, he starts a conversation with the bacher, and the bacher begins to cry. The bacher opens up, unleashes, begins to cry, and the bacher starts telling him that his father is being charged. He's having major issues with the law, and unfortunately, his family had to flee Eretz Yisrael, and they came to Kiev to hide, to run away, whatever they were doing. And he says, not only is that happening, but they keep on running. They're running. Even in Ukraine, they keep on going from place to place. And he says, I'm crying. I want to be in yeshiva. My friends are all in yeshiva. And he just melts down. So this Reb Chaim, the mother comes in. And Reb Chaim asks the mother, can I ask you a question? I'm just curious. What's holding? Why does this boy have to be here? Yes, his father has legal issues, but what does this have to do with him? The mother says, I'll be honest with you. We ran because we didn't know what would happen. He could go back to Eretz Yisrael, but I don't have money for a flight. I have no one to fly with him. I'm not flying alone. I have no one to take him to yeshiva to take care of him. I can't do this. And as she starts crying, and she tells him, you don't understand what's going on, the Reb Chaim melts, and he turns to this woman and says, you know what? I'm going tomorrow. He figures he'll distract him. He says, I'm going tomorrow on a tiyul to other kfarim. You want to come along with your son and your kids? And she says, no, I can't, because we're running again. We have to leave tomorrow somewhere else. And then she just breaks down and she starts telling him how her son already refuses to come along anymore. He's had it. Reb Chaim melted. Reb Chaim says, lady, I live in Eretz Yisrael. I'm going back in 2 days. I'm going to pay the ticket. He's going to fly with me. I promise I'm taking him to yeshiva. If he's stuck in Eretz Yisrael for Pesach, I'll take him for Pesach. He's mine. So the mother says, really? He says, call my son. She goes, she calls this boy, and she says, her son, just to have a nace for you. This yid is willing to take you back to Eretz Yisrael. And the boy starts crying, emotional, and he says, I want you to know, I knew this nace is happening today. So he says, really? He says, how? He says, yesterday, we went on to Kfarim, we went to the kever of Rablevi Yitzchak or Barditchev. And he says, at the kever, I found, my mother told us right before we got to kever, she got a call that we need to run again. And I just had a meltdown at the kever. And I turned to Kosh Baruch Hu. I said, Kosh Baruch Hu, I'm a 15-year-old bacher being chased. I'm running like a fugitive, like a criminal from place to place. I can't do it anymore. I'm done. I need to go back to yeshiva, and that's it. And he cried and cried. He said, Kosh Baruch Hu, I'm begging you, just please, please. He said he cried for an hour straight, an hour. And he finished, he said, he felt so good. And he said he knew something was coming. He said, I had no doubt. I davened so, I felt it. And here we go. You come over the next day. This yid explained that he wasn't supposed to come to the Chabad house. He was supposed to go somewhere else. He ended up in this Chabad house. Tefillos were answered. And I turn to you and I ask you, Pshat in the story, did this boy deserve a punishment? This is a boy who, unfortunately, his father was obviously not up to par. Mother was running. This boy deserved a punishment. This boy was a Kaddish Vitar, a victim, Nebuch, of being a fugitive at the age of 15, running away from authorities. So what did HaKadosh Baruch Hu do? HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted to give him chizuk. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu threw him into this very difficult situation where he's running and running. So he should turn to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And the bacher reached the madrega that after he davened, he was so sore, only because of his challenge. And the bacher, this is 2 years later, went on to yeshiva, b'li ayin hara. He's Right? The person told me the story. He says it's unreal what happened to this book. But the point I want to bring out is very simple. Look at this tragedy. This is what this Bacha needed. He was so deep into trouble. He needed to return to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and needed to get answers. That's where we are today. HaKadosh Baruch Hu should help us. Let's not lose focus. Let's not forget we're in the middle of HaKadosh Baruch Hu talking to us. We're just like disregarding it. We're moving on. This is fine. No, it's not fine. Our yeshivas and our shuls are still being threatened. And our tranquility, our home, our simchas, everything is gone. All HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants us to turn to Him. As things get more normal, we're forgetting, we're losing focus, it's becoming a waste. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, please, should help us remember from our Yitzhak and Rivka, they're not punishments, they're messages of HaKadosh Baruch Hu begging us, just turn to me, that's all I'm asking you for. We will turn to Him. Be'ez Hashem, we will be Zeicha to get out of this, and we'll be Zeicha Met Hashem to be in Yerushalayim, Yer HaKadosh. Have a wonderful Shabbos.